All right. There.
Red wine. Hide it.
Red wine, hide it. Now.
Jester.
Create. I'm here with Sabi Sengupta.
Sabi Sachi Sengupta.
Wow.
Sabi is good. It's
okay. Okay, Sabi for you. And we were just talking about my definition of create. And for me, it's very simple. It's these small actions leading to a bigger action. Mm-hmm. Small, maybe daily actions leading to a big, giant change of some sort. And whereas if you don't do the tiny actions, the big change is probably not going to happen. And if you do the small actions, there's a much higher probability that this big change will happen. We talked about even changing personality. And I wanted to talk with you today because you have a book coming out called Plan B.
What's your Plan B?
What's your Plan B? And that's really nice because I usually have a Plan A. I don't necessarily. Well, in fact, on that note, I was really scared because here let's talk about fear for just a moment.
Okay.
Because my fear was that if I dare really go after my dream, and my dream was to become a writer, mm-hmm. and if I go after it and I fail, for me there was Plan A and there is no Plan B.
No.
That's it. And so I really could have used a Plan B.
Actually, let me tell you what is the definition of Plan B in my book.
Let me get my notebook. I mean my wine.
Yeah, I already have one. So we should all have a master plan, something we all want to do. In your case, you want to be a writer. In my case, it was finishing this book or, you know, become a prominent speaker. That's the master plan. Don't have a Plan B for that. But to reach that goal, you need a lot of small actionable plans. Like for the book, I had several plans. I needed editing, I needed proofreading, I needed help from friends, I needed reviews. But to reach that master plan, you need small actionable plans, and there things do go wrong. There things do mess up. For those actionable plans, have a Plan B so that you can reach your ultimate goal without any trouble. I mean, if you're doing a side hustle outside your main job,
yeah.
It does not mean that your focus from the job is gone, or that is because you don't. Maybe your main goal is to own a big house on a canal in Amsterdam. That is your master plan. And to reach there, you need your main job where you're getting the main money,
yeah.
but you also need a side hustle to support you, extra income so you can get a big mortgage to reach that house. So that is your Plan B. So that you can reach that master plan that you have.
But then is your plan B like a side hustle then? Or does it so Plan A completely falls apart. I lose my main job.
Mm-hmm.
Can Plan B...
Definitely, like if you have a side hustle, it can definitely support you if your Plan A completely falls off. I mean, in the book I have mentioned this thing called anxiety pyramid. What are the four most things people are anxious about losing their job?
Yeah.
The first one is, I don't have enough money. Money is the one thing that can drive us crazy, scared. And actually, when you are worried about not having enough money, you don't also feel creative. New ideas do not come in.
Okay.
You feel like creative bankruptcy. So that's number one. The second
creative bankruptcy. Ouch.
I'm a banker, so these terms are like, next thing you'll hear is new ideas solvency. No, joking. Next fear people have is, I don't have the right skills. I don't have the skills to do what I want to do. Whether it's a job, writing a book, becoming a speaker, organizing an event, doing a podcast. You feel you don't have the skills. So that's the second biggest anxiety we have. The third is, I don't know enough people that can help me, support me, guide me in this journey. As a result, I don't feel comfortable reaching out to people for help and guidance and support. So you feel extremely scared. And the fourth and another big fear, which is a little less scary, I would say, but still very scary, I don't know what I want to do next.
You mean even after you finish this?
Yeah.
You don't know what...
For people who have that plan A.
Yeah.
And have that master plan and have that one plan to reach that master plan. So I want to become the CEO of X company.
Yeah.
And I want to get promotion so that I reach there. That's my plan A, to reach that master plan. And then your company goes bankrupt and there is no company where you can become a CEO. Then you do not know how to reach that. And then these, all these four anxiety will, well, depends on where you are in your life, where you are in your situation. One of these anxiety will hit you. And
okay.
The most common one, of course, the most common one, which is less, makes you less anxious, is I don't know what I want to do next.
Yeah.
Then I don't know enough people, but it's the anxiety level increases as you go up. And of course, when you are reaching the point when you do not have enough money or you feel your resources are drying out, you are absolutely scared, and that's where people make mistakes. And that's where I have a graph in my book where I explain, when you do have a plan B, people with plan B, what they do is they prepare in advance, and when there is an adversity, like you lose your job, your company goes bankrupt, or you get a bad review, or something happens, you do not panic. You remain steady. You do not act. You remain calm.
Because you have a plan.
You have a plan. You want to wait and watch what happens.
Okay.
What happens when you don't have a plan B?
Yeah.
You don't do anything. The moment you see crisis, you jump, you explode, you want to do everything. And in the graph, you see these people just shooting up. And there's this big gap. And guess what I call that gap? The toilet paper zone. That's the zone where people without a plan B, without any understanding or realization that there might be a crisis, adversity that can affect you, your life, your career, suddenly gets hit with an adversity, panic. And why it is called toilet paper zone, I think we all know.
Wow. So how can you then, you said a couple of words that scare me. You said prepare and then in advance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you also mentioned, like, the, you know, in a writer's world also, there are two types of writers. There's the gardener and the architect.
Mm-hmm.
And the gardener takes some seeds, not sure what they are, and spreads them in the garden and hopes something will grow. And you're also not quite sure what it might be and what grows or not.
Mm-hmm.
The architect has a plan, blueprints, a schedule, very organized. Sort of in writer terms, you know, a table of contents and a structure. So do you, in your book, can you help the poor gardener who doesn't
actually
have any structure?
There is a passage there. I'm going to give it away, but please still buy the book. I call it Find Your Three Amigos. Now, in your good time, when there is no adversity, find those two other amigos that complement you. So there are basically three kinds of
In your good time. So things are good.
Or you want to do something, you want to create something.
Feeling strong.
Or you want to write a book, you want to sow the seeds, or you want to be structured and organized.
Yeah.
Find the two partners or the teammates. They don't need not be partners, but they could be also friends who are quite involved, giving you feedback. So you'll find the one that's the creative, the one who sows the seed. They want to wait and watch how things evolve. They want to wait how this it's going to evolve. They want to have that creative happiness, you know. They have the creative chutzpah. They want to wait, and they want to be it to be perfect. The second is the architect, that is like who will be very structured, who wants to get the book finished in 6 months. They want to hit the road. They want to be on the, you know, they have a goal. They have a, that's kind of me. Goal is a dream with a deadline. Everything works with a deadline and da 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 da. And the third is the one that is, who is often, I won't call them pessimist, the one who has attention to detail, who can criticize both of them. The one for just being slow and not... getting the work done and it reach the market, and the one who is just only wants to reach the market without giving too much attention to what is the product that you are creating.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm lucky that I had that kind of people. I had friends who are extremely creative, who were providing me with creative ideas, creative things, and also someone who would also challenge me, why this, okay, doesn't matter if you delay by 1 month, it's not going to be end of the world, but you're going to add quality. Because that realization I sometimes like, because I'm like, let's get it done, I want July, July, July.
Yeah.
And that I think is very important. You know, we think we can do a lot alone. I don't believe that. I think we can do a lot more when we do it together.
Yeah.
I believe teamwork makes dream work. And if you and you cannot be the challenger, creator, and the one who is structured architect all in one, then you're a superhuman being. We are not. And if you do that, you're really stretching yourself, you know.
Yeah.
Find those friends. Find those people that have that different personality, different nature. And collaborate with them. Listen to their feedback. You may not agree with everything, you know. Like my, in my at the very start of my book, I have a quote from my mom. She said this, that always take everyone with you. The people whose opinion you agree with, the ones you do not agree with. Take everybody with you. Listen to everybody. Do not, but don't lose focus from your goal and objective.
Yeah.
And I really believe in that, to take everybody, everybody's opinion. Because, of course, when you're doing a creative process, you are a bit blindsided. You sometimes fall in love with your own creation. You don't want to cut those things. Everybody tells you, but this passage don't make sense. But I love it. It's my favorite passage. I'm sure you have that, right? It's like you're cutting your own arm. But
yeah,
you have
to,
you need those people to, you know, people who you trust. And that can also give you that kind of feedback.
Yeah. You know, this is really fantastic, talking about even where you just even gave away, quote unquote, gave away one of the secrets of the book, because it, in my opinion, the plan B, it's just sort of, okay, it's your backup plan. I mean, B for me is kind of backup, and that's very simplified. So especially as an author, I often look at titles and look at what they're offering, and can I think it's a simple challenge with a simple answer, and I already know the answer, so I don't need to read the book. And that's like a kind of a author's pessimistic view. But I'm pretty critical about books, and so clearly. But then if I already hear that we got the three amigos, and then what I really liked that you said was that find these three amigos while you're in a good place. Because earlier you talked about like desperation and in the anxiety pyramid, and how you're, when you're in this anxiety, you're not making decisions clearly, you're stressed, you're worried, your decision making process is hampered. And so find these three amigos in when you're in a good time. And so I take that away as create your plan B, and I'm guessing here, before you need it?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
I conclude my book with my favorite quote that I've concluded every speech I've done on Plan B. That is, if you sweat more during peacetime, you will bleed less during wartime.
It's heavy. War. Not for a, not a thing you want to talk about over wine, but hey, you know. Okay, let me make it easier. Repair the roof when the sun is shining. Slightly easier.
Are you guys writing these things down?
Yeah.
These are good, right? These are good.
Don't write it down. They're all in the book. Just buy the book.
Just buy the book. A true author. Just buy the book. I have already learned more than I expected from the book, because especially, and again, I really like titles. I worked for a naming agency before, so I'm very much into titles and subtitles. And just the plan B for me, I like it because I'm also, I'm such a gardener, by the way. I just like throw seeds and see what happens. I mean, like this whole Create Summit, but hey, that's another topic. But what I like is that, because what I need is structure, and what you're giving, what you're providing is structure, and then real tools and real ideas. Find the three amigos that are different from you and work with them. When you're in a time of good, when you're in a high time, things are okay, before you're in desperation straits, before the inglorious end, then make your plan B.
Yep.
And so if this is the kind of stuff that we're finding in a quick interview here with Savvy, just imagine how much more there is in the book that we're going to find out. And then I'll just add to him, when you buy the book. I can't help it. I'm sorry. I'm like I'm an author. It's just like I usually have to say, just buy the book. So I got it in there. We'll have a link for Savvy's book, of course.
Thank you.
It's coming out in a few weeks. By the time when you're watching this, it will be, maybe it's even available on pre-order by then.
Yes.
We'll have links down below and all that. But If this is just a tasting of what's to come in this book, I'm really looking forward to it. And look at that. There's our timing right there. That must be the bell. Savvy, do we need to get that? We need to get the door?
I think so.
I think we need to get the door. We're going to call it, that's our timing. It's our plan B was to get the door. Thanks so much for watching. Thank you for being here, Savvy.
Thank you.
And buy the book.
Thank you so much. I'll check the
door.
Is
there a door?
Yeah, I don't know who that is. I'm not expecting anybody right now.
Okay.
Hello?